So on the bottom of Daf Hayamid Aleph, the last line, Omar Rabbi Lazar, Omar Rabbi Chanina, Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Nata, Netia B'Purim. He planted a tree on Purim. You know, usually we plant trees on Tu B'Shvat. He planted a tree on Purim. He'll come around the other way, don't worry. In other words, he was of the opinion that Purim...
Is that Tu Purim? Sorry.
I don't know, right now I don't know. That Purim is Mutar B'Malacha. Okay, so now we're turning to Daf Hei Amid Beis. The Rochatz B'Krona Shel Tzipori, it was a market day, a Yom HaShuk, and he's on his way to the Kronos, that's the place where they sell the goods, and it was on Shiv'Asar B'Tammuz. Now, on Shiv'Asar B'Tammuz, there's only a fast, but there's no Inui. It's not like Tisha B'Av. And therefore, when he got to the Kronos Shel Tzipori, Bikesh Lakar Tisha B'Av V'lo Hodu Lo. He wanted to do away with Tisha B'Av. And the Chacham didn't accept it. Okay, that part of the Gemara we're going to skip right now. But we're going to fast forward to the Gemara on line, let's see, line.
On what?
Just 1 second, give me a second. Line 7, I think it is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, line 8.
From the bottom or from the top?
From the top. 10 lines, what did I just say? 8 lines down from the top of Daf Hei Amud Beis. The Rebbe hechi nata netia b'Purim. How could it be that Rebbe planted a tree on Purim? And planting a tree is a malach of zorea, of planting. It's one of the 39 malachas. So we don't do malach on Purim. How do I know we don't do malach on Purim? Vatani Rabbi Yosef had a drasha on a pasuk in Megillas Esther. And I'm going to read the entire pasuk to you. This pasuk is in the 9th parak of Megillas Esther. It says, Al kein ha-yehudim ha-prozim ha-yoshim bi-ari prozos, osim es yom ar-boso l'chodesh ador, simcha u-mishte v'yontif. And then the end of the pasuk says, v'mishloach monos ish l'reyehu. And this brisa, which is quoted by Rav Yosef, darshins these words, simcha u-mishte v'yontif. Simcha u-mishte v'yontif. Simcha v'lamech asurim behesped. The word simcha here is teaching us that in the case where somebody died on Purim, then we don't deliver a eulogy.
No.
And the reason for that is because this day is a simcha. It's a day of simcha. Mishte, malami cha'asa v'tainis. The word mishte means that you're not allowed to fast on this day. V'yom tov, malami cha'asa v'asiyas malacha. In other words, Purim has the same status as a yontif, which is asur b'malacha. So how again was Rebbe planting trees on Purim? So the Gemara answers, Ela Rebbe bar arbisar hava. Rebbe belonged to the 14th, and he lived in a place which was an open city, it didn't have walls. B'chinota, and when did he plant? B'chamesar notar. He planted a tree on the 15th. Had he lived in a city that was walled from the time of Yoshua ben Nun, in which case Purim for him would be on the 15th of Adar, then Enochinami, he would have abstained from Malacha. Why did he plant a tree? Because it was on the 15th and he belonged to... He observes the 14th because he lives in an open city.
Right.
Eni, the Gemara says, is that really true that if you live in a city, then you're allowed to do Malacha on the 15th? And therefore Rebbe lived in an open city, and that's why he did Malacha on the 15th. V'Rebbe b'Tveria hava. Rebbe lived in Tveria. U'Tveria mukefes choma mimos Yeshua ben Nun havi. Tver is indeed a walled city that dates back to the time of Yoshua ben Nun, in which case their Purim is on the 15th. How could Rebbe plant a tree on the 15th? Ella, Rebbe Bar Chamisa Havi. Let's turn it around. Rebbe was obligated to observe Purim on the 15th because he lived in Tveria, and that's a walled city. V'chinata, and in fact, when did he plant a tree? Biar Besar Hava, on the 14th. In other words, the story didn't take place on the 15th, but rather on the 14th. And for Rebbe, insofar as he was a Tverianite, he did not have Purim on the 14th, and therefore he was allowed to plant a tree on the 14th. So the Gemara says, he was allowed to plant a tree on the 14th. Because again, he lived in Tveria.
And isn't Tveria...
The Gemara says right now, wait, but don't ask any questions. Right now the Gemara says that Tveria is a walled city. Don't question the Gemara. The Gemara itself is going to question itself. But right now, just to get the structure, I want to get the flow of the Gemara. The Gemara now assumes that Tveria is a walled city, that its wall dates back to the time of Yeshua. So when was Rebbe planting a tree? Not on the 15th.
On the 14th.
But on the 14th. So Gemara says, "We pshitale de tveria mukefes chomi mimos Yoshua ben Nun." Are you really so sure that Tveria was a walled city at the time of Yoshua ben Nun? For Chizkiah, now Chizkiah is an Amora who lived maybe two generations after Rebbe. Kari, he read the Megillah b'Tveria bar Besar ubechamesar, both on the 14th and the 15th. He was in doubt. Misafkale, he didn't know. Does Tveria have the status of Ukefes Chomi Mosi Yoshua ben Nun? Oh, lo. Well, maybe it doesn't have the status. So therefore, it was knowing 2 days of Purim on both the 14th and the 15th. Now, if we assume that Tveria has a questionable status, and therefore you have to read the Megillah, and you have to be knowing Purim on both days of the 14th and the 15th, then Rebbe, how could he possibly plant a tree on the 14th? He has to worry that maybe Tveria is not a walled city, and therefore he should have abstained from Malach on the 14th as well. So the Gemara answers, L'chizkiah mesafkale, l'rebi pshitale. Although Chizkiah later on had doubts about the status of Tveria, Rebbe was absolutely certain that the status of Tveria is that of a walled city, and therefore Purim for Rebbe was on the 15th, and when did he plant a tree? That was on the 14th. So the Gemara asks the following question. This is the part of the Gemara that we really want to try to sink our teeth into. V'chip shitale. And even if I grant you that Rebbe knew for sure that Tveria was a walled city, and therefore his Purim as a member of the city of Tveria would be on the 15th, Mishari, is he allowed to do Malach on the 14th? And now the Gemara is going to try to prove that for both a person who lives in a walled city and even a person who doesn't live in a walled city, both the 14th and the 15th are days of Purim. And there are 2 days of Purim. How do we know this? Vaksiv b'Megillas Tainis. Now, let's understand a little bit of history here about Megillas Tainis. We're talking 100 years before Churban Bayis Sheni. And at that point, one of the Tanoim, by the name of Hananya, writes a list of days on the Hebrew calendar, which have to be observed as days of Simcha, because of the great divine miracles that took place on behalf of Klal Yisrael on those days. And during those days, we observe those days as days of Simcha. On that list in Megillas Tainis, you find both the 14th and the 15th. Es Yom Arbasar, Es Yom Chamishasar, Yom Epuria Inu. These are days of Purim. Delol Misvad Bahon. And we don't eulogize anyone on these 2 days. Now it seems that according to the Megillas Tainis, both days, the 14th and the 15th, have the same status for everybody. Now, this is a little difficult because in Megillas Esther it says Simcha u'mishta v'yontif. And we had already the drasha earlier of Rav Yosef that Simcha means an Iser Hesped, Mishta means an Iser Tainis, you're not allowed to fast. Now, why would the Megillas Tainus that we just saw list these 2 days as Moedim, as special days of celebration, since already in the Tanakh, in Megillas Esther, these days are already described as days of Simcha, Mishta, and Yontif? So we know from the Torah that you're not allowed to fast on these days. Why would the Megillas Tainus? You see, the whole purpose of Megillas Tainus was to add new days. The Megillas Tainus is not going to tell you that on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot you're not allowed to fast. I mean, that's written in the Torah. The Torah says "Samachta v'chagecha." Here too, these 2 days of Purim, the 14th and the 15th, are days of Simcha, Mishta, and Yontif. And I don't need Megillas Tainus to review and list these 2 days, which are already
in the pasuk.
The Omar Rava, so Rava says, why did Megillas Tainus add these 2 days? Lo nitzricha el lesser shel zeba zeva shel zeba zeh. The whole purpose of the Megillas Tainus in listing these 2 days was to tell you that everybody has to observe these 2 days. Don't think, based on the Megillas Esther, that those who lived in the walled cities would be enjoined from Hespit and Tainus on the 15th, but they were allowed to have Hespit and Tainus on the 14th. Or those who lived in the open cities who celebrate Purim on the 14th, they're allowed to have Hespit and Tainus on the 15th. No. The Megillas Tainus wants to knock that thought out of your head and tell you that there are 2 days of Purim for everybody. Both the 14th and the 15th has to be observed by everybody, no matter whether you lived in a walled city or an open city. And on those days, there's an Iser Hespeh Betainus. So if that be the case, then even if I grant you that Rebbe understood for sure, with all certainty, that Tveria was a walled city from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, and therefore Rebbe understood that the day that he would have to observe Purim would be on the 15th, but nevertheless, according to Megillas Tainus, he would also have to observe the 14th. Because Megillas Tainus tells us that both these days have to be observed by everyone. Whether you live in a walled city or you live in an open city, you have to observe both days. So even if I grant you that Rebbe lived, and according to Rebbe, it was definitely a walled city, namely Tveria, he would still have to abstain from Malacha on the 14th. So the Gemara answers, Hani mili hespik betainis alva malacha yom echad v'sulo. What the Megillas Tainus does when it tells you that these 2 days, so the 14th and 15th, have to be reserved by all the Jews, no matter what city they live in, that's only as far as the Iser hespik betainis is concerned. But as far as the Iser malacha is concerned, then those who observe Purim on the 14th have an Iser Malacha on the 14th, and only on the 14th. Those who live in a walled city have Iser Malacha on the 15th, and only on the 15th.
Malacha
would do
the same with
Tachan,
right? We don't say
Tachan
on both days.
Right. But now we're going even further than that. Not only do we abstain from reading Tachnun, from saying Tachnun, but we also have to abstain from Hespeh V'tainus on both days. So imagine if in Yerushalayim they would bury someone on the 14th, then the Gemara now is holding that you would not be allowed to eulogize that person on the 14th. Or, for example, if let's say somebody died and was buried on the 15th, let's say in Yerushalayim, then a Tel Avivi would still be confined, or shall we say restricted, he would not be allowed to fast on the 15th. But the Gemara is saying that this expansion of Purim for everyone to a 2-day, 48-hour celebration, that's only as far as Iser Hespeh V'tainus is concerned. But as far as Malach is concerned, the Iser Malach depends on where you are, and it's a 1-day, 24-hour Iser Malach. So the Gemara asks, Eini, is this in fact true, that Chachamim only prohibited Malach on that 1 day, the day that you read the Megillah? V'har Rav, we have a story now about Rav, Chazia he saw Lahu Gavra person, Davi Koshodi Kisna Bepuraya, he was planting flax on Purim, V'leite, and he gave him a whammy, what we call a curse. V'lotzomach Kisna, and as a result, the flax did not grow.
So flax?
What do you say?
What is flax?
I don't know. How does he translate it? I thought kisna is flax. What is...
Isn't flax a seed?
What was the... What does the English say? I don't know.
Where is it?
Right there on page Hayamid Bays.
Page.
All right, let's just call it flax. You know, we need what's called show and tell. We have to bring in some flax seeds in order to convince.
I think flax seeds is a kind of seed. You know,
okay, good. It's a seed.
A guaranine.
Yeah, it's a little bit. It's a little bit similar to, you know what linen is.
Linen.
You know, there's cotton. There's linen. Yeah. There's wool.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Linen is made, I think, of flax, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh.
Okay, so next time you go into the garment business, Moshe, you'll have to know all these things about flax and linen.
I'm not in the garment business because you know, I've been many time in the garment district in New York City.
Right. You visited the garment district, but you're not in the business.
No.
Okay. So what happened, Rav?
He planted it the other day. There wasn't his.
So the Gemara right now thinks that it was the other day. And Rav gave him a whammy. So you see, the Isser Malacha encompasses both days, the 14th and the 15th. One says, no. Hasam Bar Yom Ahavi. That story took place on the very day of Purim. Whatever the day was, whether it was the 14th or the 15th, Rav saw this person violating the Isser Malacha and planting on that day. Now the Gemara gives another answer. We're back to the question of Rebbe. If you remember, Rebbe planted on Purim. So we suggested that maybe he planted on the 14th and his Purim was on the 15th. But now the Gemara wants to give another twist on it. Rabba Brei de Rav Amar Afilu Teima Biyome. Even if we assume that Rebbe planted on his day of Purim, let's assume that was on the 15th. Nevertheless, Rebbe hold Hesped Vitainis Kablu Al Kabilu Alaihu. The people of Israel accepted upon themselves the Iser Hesped and Tainis. However, Malacha Lo Kabilu Alaihu. They never accepted the Iser Malacha. And we're going to try to prove this, says Rava, from the Psukim in the Megillah itself. So again, before we prove this, let's just think for a second. This is a really fascinating idea. Usually, when you talk about a takanas chachamim, then we are obligated to oblige the law of the chachamim. Here, the Gemara seems to assume that it's up to us. We have to decide whether we accept it or we don't accept it.
Accept what?
And in this case, the Isser Malacha, that when the Rabbanan instituted the Isser Malacha, we have to keep it. We don't have to keep it. We have to decide whether we want to accept it or not. If we accept it, we have to keep it. If we don't accept it, we don't. So Rebbe was of the opinion that they never accepted upon themselves the Isser Malacha, and therefore he planted on Purim. And it would seem now that the Gemara is accepting the possibility of planting on the day of Purim itself, whether you're celebrating Purim on Yudalit or on Tesvav. And we never accepted the Isser Malacha.
You're so ignorant about that. Sorry, ignorant to me, but anything that is a Havana, we never have an Isser Malacha. We never had an Isser Malacha, did we? Hanukkah, Purim, we don't have anything with Isser Malacha.
But wait a second. Remember Rav Yosef said, Simcha Mishta V'yantet.
Yeah.
Simcha means an Isser Hesped. Mishta means an Isser Tainis, and Yontif means an Isser Malacha. So now the Gemara is backtracking, and the Gemara is saying it depends whether Kibla Alai or Lo Kibla Alai. Yeah. Now the Gemara is saying we never were Makabalit. in law, in American law at least, I don't know, every country is different, but I studied American law, there's something called a system of checks and balances. Mm. Do you have that in British law as well? In other countries, maybe in Holland, in Spain, I mean, we have a lot of different countries here. So this is like the United Nations. They're just two boys from Brooklyn. But otherwise... Now, it seems that in Halacha also, there's like a system of checks and balances. You can't just legislate law. You have to make sure that the people accept the law. Now, I don't know how far we go with this. For example, they legislated back in the time of Chazal that you're not allowed to eat milk and chicken. Right? That was a Darabonah. So we're going to say, well, we don't like that. We don't want to accept that upon. I mean, what's going on over here? But first, let's see how the Gemara proves this from the Megillah itself. It says in the Megillah, on the day, on the year itself, when the miracle of Purim, the salvation of Purim, took place, it says Simcha Mishta V'Yomtov, and that was the pasuk that we saw of Yosef Darshan from the words Yontif, that is an Isur Malach. But now Lebasof Ksiv, if we fast forward a little bit in that same chapter, towards the end of the chapter, and lo and behold, the pasuk says, Lasos Osam, right, it says Kimu v'Kimu Alein, Lasos Osam, you may Mishta v'Simcha. Which word is missing?
Yom Tov.
Yom Tov, Ilu Yom Tov Loksiv. So it must mean that at some point they dropped the idea of Yontif and the Isur Malacha. When did that happen? I don't know exactly, but at some year it happened, and now they rejected the Kibbalah Alayhu. And from that time and on, and Rebbe apparently is after that time, there was no Isur Malacha.
No.
Okay, so this is where I want to stop for a moment and take a look at an essay which I photocopied for you from a sefer that I just got a hold of today. So this is fresh out of the oven, and it's called the Gvuras Yitzchak. This is Rav Yitzchak Sorotzkin. If you've heard of the famous Telzi Yeshiva in Cleveland.
Yeah.
So the Rosh Hashiva there is Sorotzkin, the whole. So this is one of the Tzatzaim, one of the descendants of the Telza Rosh Hashiva, and his name is Rav Yitzchak Sorotzkin. He lives in a city in New Jersey called Lakewood, and there he has a yeshiva, not the big yeshiva.
The Telza away in Cleveland.
He's no longer with the Telz, even though he's from that family. But he broke out on it, you know, he went out on his own, so to speak, and he established it
in Lakewood.
In Lakewood, yeah. So if you'll take a look on page Resh Mem Beis in the photocopy I gave you. You have Resh Mem Beis?
Here?
No, it's over here on these pages. See if you can look on.
This
see, it says Resh Mem Beis. Yeah, so if you look at the bottom of the page,
I see it.
You'll see Siman Yud Gimel. So he starts by quoting our Gemara, and the Gemara says that they accepted Hesped Vitainis, but they never accepted Isur Malach. Correct? That's what we have. And the Gemara proves it from the Psukim. Initially the Pasuk says, Simcha Umishta V'yantiv, implying Isur Malacha, but then afterwards it says Laso Sosim Yume Mishta V'Simcha, and it drops the ball on Yontif. Yontif is not mentioned. So he says, "What is the purpose? What is the meaning of Rav Yosef's drasha when he says Yontif Malameid Sha'asu B'Malacha? What's the significance? It's irrelevant because they never accepted the Isur Malacha." So the two words in the Megillah, which Rav Yosef justifies these words as telling you Isur Malacha, when in fact it never got off the ground because of this system of checks and balances. Secondly, he asks, and now we're turning the page to Resh Mem Gimel, if there was in fact a mitzvah of Yontif, then why didn't they accept it upon themselves? And how do they have the right to say, we object, you know, we don't want it? Now, in order to explain this, he goes through a Rambam in the second chapter of Hilchas Mamrim. And before we do that, he quotes the Psukim. And the Psukim are a little bit difficult, because in the ninth chapter of Esther, it says, Kibu v'kibu ayhudim aleim v'alzarim v'alkol anivlam elios osim esayomim aylu nizkarim v'nasim v'chol dor v'dor mishpacha mishpacha medina medina ir v'ir. And now the Megillah is talking about the mitzvah of reading the Megillah. And with regard to reading the Megillah, it seems to say, v'chol dor v'dor mishpacha mishpacha, meaning that the takana, the enactment and the obligation of mitzvahs kriyas and megillah requires Kabbalah, and in fact they did accept it, and the Megillah goes out of his way to say that this is b'chol dar v'dar b'chol mishpacha mishpacha. So let's just summarize two questions. Question number one: what is the significance of calling Purim Yontif, which means, according to Rav Yosef, Isur Malacha, when as a matter of fact, there was never an Isur Malacha because they never accepted the Isur Malacha? And furthermore, why and how do they have a right to reject Malacha, so to speak? And then in the Psukim, it seems from the Psukim that there's B'chol Dar V'dar, that this mitzvah was accepted for every dar. What's that all about? We never found in other mitzvahs that, you know, we have to clap and applaud the mitzvah in each generation. We have to accept the mitzvah. Could you imagine if somebody would tell you that, you know, we decided we don't like Ner Chanukah, so we don't like that mitzvah, so we're going to get together a petition, and we're all going to vote. Let's do away with Chanukah. It's ridiculous. What's this all about? That B'chol Dar V'dar, the Megillah says, they had to accept the mitzvah of Megillah and Purim. So in order to answer this question, he quotes an insight of the Brisker Rav on the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim. Now let me just say a few words about Hilchos Mamrim in the Rambam. The laws of Mamrim are the laws of the authority of Beis Din and what happens to those who reject or rebel against the authority of Beis Din. Does anybody by chance know who is the paradigm or the most radical and profound rebellious person against Beis Din, against the courts? Don't all answer at once. I can't hear too many voices at the same time.
Don't know.
It's called a Zaken Mamre. Have you ever heard of it?
Nope.
Okay, a Zaken Mamre is a parasha in the Torah, in Parasha Shoftim, about a member of the court who refuses to accept the ruling of the Beis Din, and even after the Beis Din hands down a decision, a ruling, he goes out and he rules against the Beis Din, and he contradicts the Beis Din. I mean, there is such a thing as a dissenting opinion, but after the vote is taken, you have to comply with the majority decision.
Yep.
You can't go out and rule based on your own minority view as a dissenting person. And in certain cases, again, there's a whole perek in Masechta Sanhedrin dedicated to this, if all the conditions are met and the Zaken Mamre is found guilty of rebelling against the Beis Din, he's put to death. That's a very severe crime because he's undermining the entire authority of Beis Din. So the Rambam has a work called Hilchos Mamrim. So one of the issues in Hilchos Mamrim, which we're going to focus on tonight, is what's called Gzeros Drabanan, the authority of the Rabbanan, which is granted by the Torah, when the Torah says, Lo Tosu Mikol Sheyerucha, is to create Gzeros. What's a Gzera?
A decree.
A decree. It's like a fence around the Torah. What do you say?
Yeah, a boundary. Yeah,
a boundary. It means stay away from something because it may lead to something else. That's the narrow definition of Gzera. But there's a broader definition of Gzera. The broader definition of Gzera is any enactment by the Beis Din. So if Beis Din is authorized to institute an enactment, so the Rambam writes the following: Perek Beis Mehilchos Mamrim Halacha Vav. Harei shegazru Beis Din Gzera. Beis Din enacted a Gzera. Vidimu, and they came to the conclusion, meaning they imagined in their minds, Sherov HaKol Yecholim Lamod Ba, that the majority of the Jewish community can observe and live up to that restriction. But the Acher Shegazrua, after they instituted the Gzerah, Pikpaku Ha'am, the members of the community had doubts about it. Velo Pashto Verov HaKol, and the Gzerah was not well accepted. Most of the Kahal of the community did not comply and were not willing to observe that Gzerah. Says the Rambam, Harei Zu Betela. Then the whole Gzerah is completely null and void. The Einon Rashaim Lochuf Es Ha'am Lo Leches Ba. And the Beis Din has no authority to enforce such a law. Why? Because most of the Kahal rejected the law. So it means that every Gzerah of the Chachamim, according to the Rambam, has a built-in condition to it. And that is that Rov HaKol can accept that Gzerah. That's the Rambam in Perek Beis Halacha Vav. Now we're going forward to Halacha Zayin. Says the Rambam, Gazru v'dimu she'poshta b'chol Yisrael, v'omad ha'dover kein shonim rabos. The impression of the Beis Din was that the people of Israel accepted the Gzerah, and in fact that's the way it went for many, many years. Uli achers man meruba, and after a very long period of time, Omad Beis Din Acher, another later Beis Din, stood up, Ubadku b'chol Yisrael, and they checked, they did a survey of the entire community of Israel, Vero, and they found out she'ein gzeira poshetes b'chol Yisrael, that the gzeira is no longer accepted. So again, initially and for a very long period of time, the gzeira was accepted and it was implemented, and the Jewish people observed that gzeira. They didn't deviate. But now Beis Din, in a later generation, finds out that after doing a study, that the people of Israel are not observing the gzeira. Therefore, Yeshlo Rishus Levatel. The Beis Din now has the ability, the authority, to abolish the original Gzeira. And Rabosei, keep this in mind, because all this is gonna bear on our question about the Isur Malach on Purim. The Rambam adds, Hafilu Ayapachos Mi Beis Din Arishon B'Chachman B'Minyan, even if this later Beis Din is not at all as great as the earlier Beis Din who enacted the initial Gzeira, they are less in Chachma and less in Minyan. They don't have the wisdom, meaning the greatness of Torah knowledge, of the first original Beis Din. They don't have the numbers of the first original Beis Din. It's a smaller Beis Din, both in quantity and in quality. And nevertheless, they have the right to abolish the original enactment because they checked out and they found that the Kol is not willing to observe that Gzera. Now, in the Kesef Mishnah, he says, Afilu Pashta Bitchila, even though originally the Gzera was accepted, Pashta means it spread out, meaning it was implemented and observed, but Kevan She'achshav, now, Ein Rov Yisrael Nogim Ba, most of the Jewish people cannot live up to that gzera, is matirin osa. They are allowed to remove and abolish the original gzera. So let's say, for example, did you ever hear of Shemen Akum? Yeah. Did you know that originally there was a gzera, the Gemara at the end of Rosh Hashanah, of Shemen Akum, that you aren't allowed to buy oil from a guy? And although there was a period of time in which that gzera was in force, the Gemara says that later on the people of Israel felt that they couldn't live up to it. Oil is such a basic commodity, and there was no great massive oil production in Chutz Laretz, and they had to buy oil from the Goyim, so they removed the original gzera. They were matir the gzera. So that's an example of what the Kesef Mishnah has in mind here in the Rambam, that even though originally they accepted the gzera, they observed it, but in the later generation they realized that we can't do it, then a Beis Din, even if it's lesser than the original Beis Din, it has the power to abolish the gzera. Ad kan dvara. This is what we saw in the Kesef Mishnah. Harei. What do we see from this? The Chol Takonis Beis Din, with regard to every single enactment of the Beis Din, but you know what we require is Shia Pashta B'chol Yisrael, that it'll be accepted by the people of Israel. V'im Kain, maybe now we begin to understand what the Megillah is telling us about Isur Malacha. Dizel Maida Shekamash Malon Hakra. This is what the Pasuk is teaching me. The Kimu V'Kibula Yehudim Aleihem, that the original Takana was accepted by the Jewish people. The Pashta B'chol Yisrael. So at one point in history, after the Ness of Chanukah, I'm sorry, of Purim, they in fact observed Purim as a day of Yisur Malach, as a Yontif. The Zel Kodem Asayim B'krov Ayomim Ailu Nizkar V'nasim B'chol Dor V'dor Mishpachu Mishpacha. And they accepted in every single generation that these days would be days of Kriyas HaMegillah, of Mishteh, of Simcha. Why does the Megillah have to emphasize B'chol Dor V'dor? And the answer is, D'lo Sagi B'zeh, it's not enough that the enactment of Purim was accepted at the time of the Takana. El Tzach Shet Tis Pashi B'chol Hazman. It has to be continuously accepted even over the course of generations. Of course, we already saw in the Rambam that a later generation could undermine the original Gzeira. Is Kamash Malkrad Takana Zu Pashta B'chol Yisro B'chol Eis. But again, that's only as far as Simcha and Mishteh. But in a later generation, as far as Yontif is concerned, they decided we can't observe these days as an Isur Malacha. Lefi Amavuar Nira Demai Dekamer B'Gemara B'Malacha Lo Kivu Alayu Ratzalomet Takana Zu D'Malacha Lo Pashta B'chol Yisrael. V'Alkein Takana Zu B'Tela, that the Takana of Isur Malacha with regard to Purim was not accepted by the majority of the people, and therefore it's completely null and void. Initially, the Jewish people accepted this takana, and they observed both days of Purim as Yomim Tovim with an Isur Malach. But later on, they realized that the people were not able to live up to this gezeira, this Isur Malach. The cave on the losagi bazeh did his pashto b'shas hatakana. Since it's not enough that the minug and the gzeira was accepted at the original period of time, el tzoch shet tis pashto b'chol hazman, but it has to be accepted continuously. And at some later generation, they realized that the people of Israel were not able to live up and observe this gzeira. Lachen hiktirosa. Therefore, they were matir this gzeira. Ulefi zeh. According to this explanation, Zeu Maidaksib B'tchila, and now we understand the pasuk that says originally, Al Kain Yehudim Aprozim Osim Es Yomar Basol Chodesh Adar Simcho Mishta V'yantif to B'tchila Pashta B'chol Yisrael V'chala Takana. Everything is fine and dandy. The people actually observe these 2 days, Yedalet and Tesvav, as days of Isur Malach. Acherkach, but later on in history, Lo Haisa Poshetes B'chol Yisrael, it was no longer accepted by the people of Israel, Mishum Hachi, and therefore the Basof ultimately Ksiv Lasos Sosom Yimei Mishteh V'Simcha, but the Lotziv Yontif. But Yontif is dropped because they never accepted it. I shouldn't say they never accepted it, because initially they did accept it, but now they rejected it and they couldn't live up to the Isur Malacha, and therefore the Gzeira of Isur Malacha is completely null and void. Okay. So again, let's just see how we have answered the questions that we raised. If you remember, the first question that we asked is why does the drasha of Rav Yosef have any meaning to it? It seems like a futile, meaningless drasha when he says Yontif means that Tosa Mulacha, because at the end Lo Kibal Alayim. But the answer to that question is that initially the Megillah testifies that they did accept the Isur Malacha. The second question was, if indeed they were commanded on Isur Malacha, why didn't they accept it? And the answer is the people of Israel didn't accept it. They felt it was too onerous and too burdensome. to add 2 days of Isa Malacha to their calendar. And the third question that we asked is, why does the Megillah say Bechol Dar V'Dar? And the answer is because it's not enough that the Gzeira, took fire, you know, it was accepted initially after the Takana, but we have to check in later generations, because if in later generations they reject the Takana, then Beis Din will abolish it. So the answer is Bechol Dar V'Dar. So now we have the following. The first pasuk that we saw in the Megillah, which mentions Yontif, that's talking about the original period of time, historically, when the Jewish people actually observed these 2 days as Yontif with the Nisa Malacha. And the next pasuk later on, which says Simcha Umishta, but it doesn't mention Yontif, that reflects the sociology, if you will, of the Jewish people in a later generation, where they couldn't live up to that standard, that high demand of 2 days of Nisa Malacha, and therefore the Gzeira was abolished. Very, very impressive, I'll be honest with you. I mean, this really puts a lot of different things into perspective. But now, he quotes a Baal HaMa'or, Rabbeinu Zrachi al Levi.
Do we know, by the way, exactly in what generation, when did this change?
I'm not sure. There probably is probably a way of figuring this out, but I don't know exactly how it is. Now, the Baal HaMa'or says the following. V'im Tishal, if you'll ask me the following question, may Achar Sha'osar B'Titus Lifnehem Alma Nagu Ha'om Lis'anos B'Yud Gimel. Now, let's understand. We have the following rule. If we go back to a discussion earlier about Megillas Tainus, which has a list of those days that are Osur B'Titus, so the halacha is that not only is that day also B'tainus, but the day before it is also also B'tainus. So therefore the Megillas Tainus mentions the 14th of Adar, which is the day of Purim, then it means we're not allowed to fast even on the 13th of Adar, because that's the din of Lifneim. So you'll ask me, if that be the case, what do we do with Titus Esther? Titus Esther is fast on the 13th of Adar. Yesh lo hashiv, the Baal HaMa'or offers the following answer. Isa kahidi Omar of Ashi Gedali ben Achikam dire kabbalahu v'dire kabbalah kidire Torah damu v'ein tzrichim chizuk hachinami bnei arbeisar dire kabbalah ninu umutorim lifneim shu yom yud gimel. So the Baal HaMa'or presents and formulates a brand new principle. This law that even on the day before the commemoration you're not allowed to fast, that's a chizuk. That's coming to strengthen the established minog that we don't fast on a certain day. We add the day before, and that gives it even more chizuk. However, not everything needs chizuk. For example, we fast on Erev Pesach. I mean, I don't fast on Erev Pesach, because now I'm not a Bechor, but a Bechor fasts on Erev Pesach, or he makes a seer, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Like for example, there is a minhag, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, to fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
So why don't we say that on the day before a day that's invested with an Issa Tainus, you're not allowed to fast, and we see over and over again that you're allowed. The answer is that those are days to Oraisa. The Torah says that a yontif like Pesach or Rosh Hashanah is a doraisa. You have to be besimcha, and therefore you don't need chizuk to add the extra day before. Comes along the Baal HaMa'or, and he says that Yudalid as a day of Purim is like a doraisa. Why is it like a doraisa? Because it's divrei kabbalah. Because it's written in the Tanakh. Ah, if divrei Torah. If Direi Kabbalah ki Direi Torah Dami means we treat Direi Kabbalah on the same level as Direi Torah,
and it doesn't need chizuk.
Then it doesn't need chizuk. And therefore, since the observance of Purim on the 14th is Direi Kabbalah, therefore you're allowed to fast on Yud Gimel. That's the presentation of the Baal HaMa'or. So it comes out according to the Baal HaMa'or that when we talk about Purim, Yudalid, which is a day of an Isur Hesped V'Tainis, just like we said before, that Pesach is also B'Tayin, or Rosh Hashanah is also. So these days are like a doraisa with an iser hesped, and therefore you're allowed to fast an iser hesped with tainus. You're allowed to fast on the day before. So far, so good. Now, if we open up the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Megillah Siman Tofresh Sarivav, he quotes Yesh Misha Omer Shaonein Mutar Bebasar V'Yayin Delo Asi Asay De Yochid De Avelus V'Dochi Asay Derabim Doraisa Lismach Bepurim De Divrei Kabbalah Ninu Shahem Kedivrei Torah. Wow. The Shulchan Aruch, apparently influenced by Rabbi Mizrachia HaLevi, meaning the Baal HaMor, also activates this principle of Divrei Kabbalah Kedivrei Torah Dami. And therefore, we have to observe Purim as a day of Simcha. And if the Onen will behave as an Onen on Purim, and he will abstain from Basar and Yayin, then he's undermining the day of Purim as a day of Simcha. Meaning, when an Onen observes his Haninus, and he abstains from eating meat and drinking wine, if he does so on Purim itself, then he's undermining the whole nature and the character of Purim as a day of Simcha. And his personal Avelus is not strong enough, that's called Avelus de Yochid, to undermine the Esei de Rabim of Purim as a day of Simcha. And the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch goes as far as to say that the day of Purim as a day of Simcha is like a Torah requirement. In other words, the Simcha Purim, which requires the eating of meat and the drinking of wine, is like an essay, Midirei Kabbalah. It's like a positive command in the Tanakh itself, and therefore it has the tokef, it has the teeth and the status of a doraisa, and therefore we cannot allow the onen, according to this opinion, to abstain from eating meat and drinking wine, because then he's being docha the essay derabim of Simchas Purim, which is Divrei Kabbalah, and Divrei Koras Kedivrei Torah. So it comes out very clearly that according to the Baal HaMor and the Shulchan Aruch, standing on the shoulders of the Baal HaMor, the Iser Hesped V'Tainus on Purim is not some sort of Gzeira D'Rabbanan, as we discussed earlier, but rather it has the status of a Divrei Kabbalah, which is like a Dvar Torah. So it's Lomi Takon as Bezdin. If that be the case, Sarach Iyun, I don't understand. The Gemara says that the people of Israel were Makabel, they accepted the Yisra Hespi V'tainas on Purim. In other words, that there's a mitzvah of Simcha on Purim, that they accepted. They didn't accept the din of Yontif and the Yisra Malacha, but they accepted the Yisra Hespi V'tainas. What sense does that make? If it was a Gzera of Bezdin, then you have to know, checks and balances, did they accept it, did they not accept it? But if we're talking about Divrei Kabbalah, it's included in the Torah and the Tanakh, then there should be no condition that they have to accept it. The Oats are Chiyun, and furthermore, it's difficult. The Im Neima, the Iser Hespi, the Tanis Habi Divrei Kabbalah, is Kmo Chen Iser Malacha, the Ksiv Bahach Kro, Gamkin having me Divrei Kabbalah. In other words, there's a package deal, and the Pasuk speaks about three things, not just Mishteh and Simcha, but it speaks about Iser Malacha as well. And if that be the case, then once this Pasuk is establishing Midirei Kabbalah, the din of Mishteh v'Simcha with Iser Hesped V'Tainus, it should likewise be establishing Midirei Kabbalah, Yom Tov, and the Iser Malacha, which undermines everything that we've been saying, that
in later generations they
have to accept it, and if they don't accept it, then they abolish the Iser Malacha, and that's why Rebbe would plant on Purim. The whole thing doesn't make any sense, because what kind of Kabbalah is shayach in a case of a Doraisa? And Divrei Kabbalah is like Doraisa. He says, We should have come to the conclusion here. We're turning to Resh Mem Dalid. The Eino Toli Bekabalasam Klal. We don't need, you know, it's like saying, well, you're not allowed to fast on Sukkot, on Pesach. So, well, let's check it out and see if it's a Doraisa. The Afim Lo Kiblu Alayu. They don't have a matter of choice in the matter. Havilei Lios Hasur V'Malacha. So now we're really stuck. We thought we were very excited and successfully created this entire complex and matrix of the system where the enactment of Beis Din has to be accepted not only by one generation but even on future generations, and that's why the Isur Malach of Purim was abolished, because in later generations they couldn't and they rejected it. What shaykh here that they could either accept it, approve it, or reject it? It's Divrei Kabbalah, and Divrei Kabbalah is the Divrei Torah.
Basically, can't just approve it, or they can't just.
Yeah, it's not a matter of takanas bezdin. It's already incorporated into the Megillah itself, and therefore it has the status of Divrei Kabbalah. Oh, so in order to answer this question, we're going to go back to the beginning of Masechta Megillah. The Gemara at the beginning of Masechta Megillah questions the Mishnah that says that you can read the Megillah on the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th of Adar. And that's for the Takana for the Bnei Hakfarim. The Megillah itself only mentions the 14th and the 15th. And those are the days on which we have to read the Megillah. So the Gemara says that when the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah instituted both the 14th and the 15th, how could a later Beis Din now allow for the reading of the Megillah on the part of the villagers as early as Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel? And if you'll tell me that the later Beis Din, because they had a need, you know, to satisfy the villagers, they would uproot the original Takana, we have a rule, says the Gemara, of Ein Beis Din Yochel Vatel Divrei Chaveiro Elan Kein Gadol Mimenu B'Chochma Minyan. And the original Takana was the Takana of Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the Great Assembly. So there was no Beis Din later that could abolish a Takana of an earlier Beis Din. So once again, the Gemara doesn't know how is it that a later Beis Din was able to move Kriyas HaMegillah from Yudalid all the way back to Yud Aleph on behalf of the Bnei Akfarim. So the Turi Evan, that's the Shagasarye in Megillah Daf Dalid, writes that Kriyas HaMegillah is an essay midirei Kabbalah. And it has the status of almost a quasi Doraisa. So the Brisker Rav asks, then what is the Gemara asking from the principle of Ein Beis Din Yochel Vatel Divrei Beis Din Chaveiro, that a later Beis Din that doesn't have the same stature cannot undermine and abolish a takon of the original Beis Din, which had a greater status? Forget about that. Why not just simply say that this is Divrei Kabbalah? And if it's Divrei Kabbalah to read the Megillah on the 14th or the 15th, then nobody, not even a great Beis Din, has the right to establish three other days for Kriyas HaMegillah earlier than the 14th. So why does Gemara have to base its question on this din of Ein Beis Din Yochel Vatel's Divrei Chaveiro? Harei Ein Zeh Takanas Beis Din. We're not dealing with Takanas Beis Din, but rather we're talking about something that's Midivrei Kabbalah. Even the greatest Beis Din would not be able to be Oker, because we're not talking about a Takanas Beis Din, we're talking about Divrei Kabbalah. Now before we read the next line, I just want to say the following. It would seem to me that there are two stages over here. Stage number one was the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah made a gzerah and they enacted Purim with all its obligations, Kriyas HaMegillah, and the Isurim of Hespei V'Tainis, etc., etc. It's only later when they capitulated to Esther and Mordechai's request to write this up and incorporate it into Tanakh, that's when it gets upgraded to the status of Divrei Kabbalah. But let's just see what he says. This is what they call in the yeshivas Rav Beryl Soloveitchik, the first cousin of my Rebbe with the same name. He was the Brisker Rav's son. The Kevan de Navi Eino Yochel Echadish Dover Ledoros. Navi never has the power to create a new mitzvah or a new takana. That's given to the Chachamim, not to the Neviim. In Kain Lo Yitochen, the takanas Kriyas HaMegillah Doros Hoysal Yudei Nevuah. It cannot be that Megillah and the obligation to read the Megillah was established by Nevuah. It must be because Bezdin. Only Bezdin has the authority to establish a Kriya and a mitzvah of Kriya. Ela, Shal Yidei Ruach HaKodesh, Nitztavu L'takein L'kroso. There was an element here of Nevuah to tell Bezdin to go ahead and establish this obligation to read the Megillah. Vahavi takonis bezdin, kakol takonis bezdin, and therefore bezdin later on has the power to be mevatel the first bezdin if the later bezdin is greater than the first bezdin. Vechein muchach me'atosvos b'megillah daf heyam in bezdi remaskel b'pikesh shehikshu hechsal kedaktet the Rebbe rotzalakar tisha b'av legamrei v'ayin bezdin yochel avatel divri chavero el kein golo men v'chof m'vinyin. Right, the Tainus of Tisha B'Av is incorporated in Tanakh. I think it's in Zechariah Novi. The Afim Golei Menu Eini Yochel Liakro. Bal Korchov to be Emes Lo Neschayvu Lidoros Al Pi Nevuah, because Nevuah doesn't have the power to be Mechadesh an Isur and Metakein a Tainus. Rakt Al Yidei Nevuah. Nitztavu l'takein tainus. Vavi takonis bezin kakol takonis v'rak kevin shohois al pi nevuah shiyataknu oso ika lechomer de divrei kabbalah. Now if we treat it as a very severe, upgraded, stringent takona, but at the end of the day it's only a takon of bezin. See, he doesn't say exactly what I said. I wanted to say that once it was incorporated into Tanakh, then it gets upgraded to the status of Divrei Kabbalah because it's in Tanakh. I don't think he wants to go that way, because if that be the case, we're still stuck with that question. How could a later Bezdin abolish that which is Divrei Kabbalah? He says, "Vazeh bir moran agrizal tapsukim." In Zechari it says, "Ha'efke b'chodesh ha'chamishi, he nozer kasher asisi ze kamashonim, ki tzamtem uspod b'chamishi u'shmi, Hatsom tzamtzuniani v'chisochelu v'chisishtu halo atem ha'ochlim v'atem ha'shosim hainu dehem sholu dekema davi chiv midivrei kabbalah imkein enem yichom levatel chiv midivrei kabbalah v'afsha achshav nivna abayis adayin tzrichim lotzum. In other words, it seems from Zechariah that after the bayis will be restored, there's no tzom of Tisha B'Av. So how could that be if it's midirei kabbalah? We can't just abolish a fast day. It can't be that what you fasted because of the nevuah. El shebezdin chivu oschem lotzu v'mkein yichom levatel takonazu v'nira tadvor mefuroshim b'akdoma sarambam l'minyan ha-mitzvus al seder Hilchos Liyada Chazoka Shekos of the Ein Novi Rashoi L'Chadish Dover V'Lomar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tziva V'Hosif L'Mitzvah. In other words, a Novi can't say, well, God revealed to me in a prophecy and he communicated to me that we have to add a new mitzvah. Aval Im Osifu Bezdin Im Novi She'iya Ba'oso Azman is mitzvah derech takana. You know, it says takana, they can add a mitzvah, and the Navi sits together with the Bezdin, then Einzu Tosefes, that's not adding a new mitzvah, midirei nevuah. Sharei lo amru, they're not saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tziva lasos eruv or likra v'megilah bonasa. If they would say that God commanded us to make an eruv or to read the Megillah, that would be a problem of Ein Navi Rashoi L'Chadish Dovah. Beilu Omru Keno Yumosifin Ala Torah, the Novi can't add something to the Torah, Ela Kachanu Omrim. But the truth of the matter is, Shanaviyim in Bezdin Tiknum, that it's Neviyim together with Bezdin that made this Takkan of it. Sivu Likros HaMegillah Bo Nosa, and they commanded us to read the Megillah in its time. Ad Kan Dvarav, this is the language of the Rambam. Rei Lehejer, we see clearly from the Rambam, the Hoysa Takkanas Bezdin, that it wasn't a takana of the Nevi'im, and it's not a Doraisa, because the Novi can't be Mechadish Dover, but rather it's a takana of Bezdin. But the Novi sat together with the Bezdin, and he tells them that they are recommended, so to speak, to establish this takana of reading the Megillah. Oh, if that be the case, now we understand that the Iser Hesvei V'Tainis depends upon Kabbalah, because it has the Tokef and it has the teeth of a Takana. And if it's Takana, then we have to see through the system of checks and balances if we accept it. Mutar Mehem V'Malacha Tolo Kibla Alay V'Malacha V'Lo Tikshin, don't ask Kema Davi Esei Medivri Kabbalah Lama Zetoli V'Kabbalasam Ulam Lamavur Afsha Hayal Zechomer Didivri Kabbalah Mikomakom Hayal Pi Takanas Bezdin, and therefore that's the status Kechol Takanas Bezdin. The Kevin Shahayal Pi Takanas Bezdin Harei Zetolui in Poshta HaTakon B'chol Yisrael Kekol Takon is Bezdin, as we said before. Okay, Rabosai, so we'll stop here for Mayriv, and I'll thank everyone for joining me, and everyone should have a great week. So that's what we're saying, that it couldn't be Doraita, because the Navi doesn't have the right to make a new mitzvah. All the Navi can do is he can be the conduit and bring the word of God to the Navi, to the Bezdin, and encourage the Bezdin to make this Takana, but at the end of the day it remains a Takana's Bezdin. And if it's a Takana's Bezdin, then a later generation could decide, well, we don't have the ability to comply and live up to the demands of the Takana space, and then it becomes abolished.
So it only is a remes, minura kabbalah. You can't really say that they can't make a new mitzvah.
Correct, but it does have a powerful status as a chumrah. You know, we can be very strict about it. In fact, that's what the Turi Evan said. That where was the Turi Evan here? Oh yeah, he says that it's like an asei midirei kabbalah. What he means to say is that we're going to have to be very machmir, because it's not just your classical takanas bezdin; it's takanas bezdin with the encouragement and the recommendation of a navi, which has a quasi doraisa status as a takanas midirei kabbalah. However, the halacha of bittul, which means that later on they could decide we can't live up to that takana, that still applies insofar as the takana was established by a bezdin. Okay, then? That's what we have.